السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Honorable علماء الكرام، my brothers and those who are listening over the audio stream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two verses of Surah Al-Imran, which we are regularly listening to in the khutbah, the first of these two verses in the khutbah of nikah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And in part of the following verse, in these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the two fundamentals or the two principles for the collective strength, unity and solidarity of Muslims, which is sorely lacking in the ummah in present times. People have plans, people have suggestions, they have blueprints on how we can unite as Muslims. But we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kalam, has given us the solve of every situation, every problem that we may face in our lives. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first verse, there are two things mentioned. I said two principles, two fundamentals, ingredients. These two ingredients, if they are present, this ummah will unite. And when one of them is absent even, you will find only but disunity. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah. O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he qualifies it by saying, حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, with fear that is due to him. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the translation that we usually make for the word taqwa. Taqwa in essence is to refrain from something, to abstain from something. Abstention from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. This in essence is taqwa. Now taqwa has three stages and three levels. The first of which is that taqwa where one refrains from kufr and shirk, ascribing a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disbelief. By virtue of this definition, every mu'min is a muttaqi. So we should not feel disheartened. Quran speaks about this level of taqwa and it says, Hudal lil muttaqeen. The ones who have brought iman, have refrained and abstained from kufr and ascribing of partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are muttaqeen. But this is the lowest level of taqwa. Then you have the second level of taqwa, and that is to refrain from all those things that are repugnant to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever Allah has enjoined to follow that, and that which He has prohibited, to refrain from that. And this level of taqwa is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised numerous virtues and great rewards in the kalam Allah,
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as an example, says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. The one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will find for him a way out from every calamity and every difficulty that he may face. And added to that, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for him his risk and his sustenance from whence he does not even have the slightest inkling. He does not even imagine that my risk would come from that quarter. Allah will provide it from there. Similarly, Allah says إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا. Allah is with those people who have taqwa. And so on and so on. There are numerous verses in the Quran explaining the reward of taqwa and the virtue of taqwa. And this level of taqwa, the second level that I speak of, these virtues are in actual fact for those people who are at that level of taqwa. And the third level of taqwa is the taqwa of the anbiya and the awliyaullah. And that taqwa is remembrance of Allah to such an extent that the heart, mind and soul does not even let in anything that is classified as ghayrullah. Anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not come close to such hearts. That level of taqwa is the ultimate of the anbiya and the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look at this verse closely, it does not just say ittaqullah. The catchphrase here is haqqa tuqatih, with such fear that is due to him. Now you and I may say that what type of taqwa is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it humanly possible to fulfill that level of taqwa that is befitting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is due to him? In explaining this, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in the tafsir of this very verse, haqqa tuqatihi, he says, أَن يُطَاعَ فَلَا يُعْصَى. That Allah be obeyed and never disobeyed. To be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never ever to be disobedient to Him. وَيُذْكَرَ فَلَا يُنْسَى. And to remember Him at all times and never to forget Him. وَيُشْكَرَ فَلَا يُكْفَرَ. And to be grateful to him and never to be ungrateful to him. Where these three ingredients are found, a person has these three qualities, that he is observant of these three things. And that is, just to recap, that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never to be unmindful of him. We obey him and never disobey him. And whatever he has granted us, as far as his bounties are concerned, we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never ungrateful. That is the beginning of taqwa. We can attain onto taqwa if we have to carry these out. Then again, in explaining this haqqa tuqatihi, the Quran itself, the Quran, you know, yufassiru ba'daha ba'da. Quran, part of Quran explains other parts of Quran. So in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is something, if we hear, it will calm us, because it is a very tall order to fulfill the right and the due of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But looking at the second verse, it will appease us and it will calm us to know that it is attainable, it is achievable. Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as is in your capacity. So if we resolve that we will try our level best to follow those things that have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and we'll refrain from every such thing that is repugnant to him and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disliked by him and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah we can say that we have fulfilled the right of taqwa. Provided this intent is there, present all the time. We may slip, we may falter, but we turn back each time and renew this intention that we will follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His command as much as is humanly possible for us. If we do this, inshallah we will be fulfilling this due of taqwa that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die, but that you be a Muslim when you die. Do not die, but as a Muslim. Now, if we look at the word taqwa on one hand and Islam, Muslimun here, they are interchangeable. They are interchangeable in the sense that Islam and taqwa are one and the same thing. Submission to the divine will. Submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Islam. And to follow His command and refrain from His prohibitions, that is taqwa. So Islam and taqwa are interchangeable words, really speaking. Where there is Islam, there is taqwa. Where there is taqwa, there is Islam. They are one and the same thing. But it says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. Do not die. Now dying is not in anybody's control. One may ask the question, that how do I die as a Muslim? It's not within my control to die in any way. So the explanation of that is given in the hadith. It does not mean that you will bring about death to yourself. But the circumstances in which you find yourself when you finally will breathe your last. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, again reported by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, kama tuhyun tamutun. As you will live, you will die. They say you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Jaisi karni, waisi bharni. As you will live, so you will die. وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُحْشَرُونَ. And as you will die, you will be resurrected in the hereafter. So that is within our control. To create the circumstance that when we die in a state that we are Muslim. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So that is within our control. To die, but to not die, but as a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this, that when we breathe our last, we breathe it on the kalima la ilaha illallah. No one knows where and when our final time will come and we will leave this world. We make dua, but we need to strive at the same time that we create those circumstances for ourselves, that when the angel of death finally visits us, we leave this world in a state of iman and Islam. Allah grant us all of us that, inshallah. So if we practice according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this can guarantee us that we will die as Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. Going on to the second verse. So the first verse spoke about taqwa, the first ingredient that can bring about unity and solidarity amongst Muslims is taqwa. And the second verse Allah says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold fast to the cord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not singly, but collectively. That all Muslims together collectively should hold fast to the cord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not disunite. What is this cord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah speaks about? What is this hablullah? This has been mentioned in the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كِتَابُ اللَّهِ حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. The Kitabullah is that cord, that rope, which has been let down from the heavens to the earth. It is basically, we could say, the direct link and the direct line to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who holds fast to that cord, he has a direct line to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the Kitabullah. So hold fast to the Kitabullah, jami'an, all together, united, as an ummah. And do not disunite. Now what is happening, we find that currently there is disunity. We speak about it and we try to look for the solve and the remedy to this problem that the ummah faces. You just have to look around in across the globe. This is a universally accepted fact that united we stand and divided we fall. In unity is strength. And the reason for the disunity that we find ourselves in, that each one of us has a plan. We have a plan. And we invite others to come towards that plan and the scheme that we think is going to unite people. Now each one is thinking in the same way. So just as I may have a plan, the other has a plan himself. So each one is basically trying to draw everyone towards himself. These are man-made plans that will not survive the test of time. So therefore Allah says, وَعَتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. If you want something that can unite people, to bring them together, then you need to call them to such a plan that is not man-made, but rather it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that plan Allah has in the Quran Kareem, which He refers to in this verse as Hablullah, the cord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we collectively hold fast to this cord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will unite our hearts. Allah says, and the unity of the hearts comes from what? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who bring faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in entirety, He brings iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And does good deeds. سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Allah will bring about the circumstance where He will create love and friendship amongst you. So bringing about this love and friendship and unity amongst the hearts of people, it lies in the Quran Kareem. It lies in following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as mentioned in His kalam. This is what can unite people. Other than that, if we look for the solve of this and the solution for this, in all other man-made plans and plots, we will not find success in there. And when we move away from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only that we will face the consequence of disunity, but rather we will face further the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is utmost importance. Where Allah becomes displeased with one, then none can be pleased with Him. And this is why we find ourselves in such a circumstance. And I will quote a hadith. A hadith comes to mind, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke 1400 plus years ago. But we will see exactly the same to be found, and we are living it in this day and age. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith reported in Abu Dawud, he says, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمْ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. That a time will come upon you when you will find the other nations, that they will fall upon you, they will attack you as a group of hungry people will attack a table spread where food has been kept. People who have gone hungry for a long time, and you present food before them, can you imagine, out of that sheer hunger, how they will devour the food? In the same way, Rasul ﷺ describes that this ummah will be devoured by the other nations. A time, such a time will come. Sahaba were concerned and they asked the right questions. Qurban jaye un sahaba par, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with them. They asked all the pertinent questions. And they did not at this occasion also did not let it go by. But they asked questions. And the question was asked, وَمِن قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Is this because we will be few in number? The number, the population on the earth of Muslims will be very few. Is this why the other nations will overpower us? And they will come at us and devour us? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied by saying, La bal antum kathir. You will be many in number. Walakinnakum, but your condition will be such, غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. You will be like that scum that floats up over the flood waters. When there is a flood, and water is gushing and flowing, see, it picks up all little bits of dirt, and splinters of wood, and grass, and other little things that will flow away, have no control over themselves. But they will flow with the flow of water in whichever direction the water takes them. You will become like that. Unworthy. That scum that flows on the flood waters. Nobody collects it because it's absolutely of no use. You will be in your numbers, but your condition will be such. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something. And something that would concern us and should concern us. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمُ الْمَحَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the awe that people felt in past times when they saw Muslims. Allah will remove that awe from the hearts of the other nations. And added to that, وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهَنِ. And Allah will put in your hearts what is referred to as wahan in this hadith. Wahan means weakness. But Sahaba did not understand the term wahan. So they immediately inquired, وَمَا الْوَهْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is this wahan you speak of, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Love of this dunya and dislike for death. Dislike for death means dislike to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who will dislike meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is unprepared. He knows that when he is going to reach there, and he is going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not have that which requires, which is the requisite for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he does not find joy in this. And he fears death. These two are intertwined. Fear of death is because of love of this dunya. The one who has hubbu dunya, love of the dunya in his heart, he will naturally fear death. So this warning has been sounded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam centuries ago. And what we see today is exactly that which he foresaw and he told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Now, how do we bring about this unity and this love that is required so that the mu'min, the believers can rise to their rightful position on this earth as vicegerents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We can start at grassroots level. Right at the bottom. We need to start right at the bottom. And it is because of this that this deen has instituted certain practices. That if we have to carry out those practices, we will be united. Starting with salah. The very first thing. And salah with jama'ah. In the masjid. We are told 5 times a day to assemble in one place. And stand shoulder to shoulder. No matter who the individual is who's going to be standing next to you, from what strata of society he is, we will stand shoulder to shoulder with him. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs us that to sawunna sufufakum, And you will straighten, you will surely straighten yourselves. أَوْ لَيُخَالِفُنَّ اللَّهَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ لَيُخَالِفُنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sow the seeds of disunity amongst you. We have it in our power to stand shoulder to shoulder. And in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you do not do that, then disunity will be sown within your hearts. So when we come to the masjid, when we stand in the saf, the imams do sometimes remind us, kindly straighten yourselves. Make sure you stand heel to heel in line. And so on and so forth. So these are the things. Firstly, salat with jamaat in the masjid. Then, in the old days, this is how it used to be. Your 5 daily salat throughout the week used to be in your local masjid. But when it came to Salatul Jumu'ah, they used to go to one masjid, the Masjidul Jami', the Jami' Masjid in the city, bringing everyone together, uniting them. And then on a macro level, annually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the mu'mineen, the believers, to Makkah, to unite there in Hajj. So that is, not everyone is able to do that, but there are things we are able to do, to come to the masjid daily, for the 5 daily salah, we are able to do that. But alas, we have failed even in this very first duty towards bringing ourselves together. And thereafter, there are other actions that if we have to bring in into our lives, it will create unity amongst ourselves. And that is one of the very, very important sunnah practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and taught to him, taught to us by him, is that to say salam to one another. To say salam to one another. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ. You will never enter Jannah until you have iman. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. And you will never be true believers until you do not love one another. So now, you say, how is it possible that we begin loving one another as Muslim brothers to one another? The Sharia has given every solve, every remedy is there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith says, "Awala adullukum." Should I not point out to you to something? لو فعلتموه تحاببتم. That if you have to carry that out, it will bring about love between you. And then he says, "Afshu salam bainakum." Make salam commonplace amongst you. And in another hadith, we learn that salam is, and this is what happens now, if you know somebody, we may say salam to him, and if you don't know him, you know he is a Muslim, yet we will not make salam to him. And there, of course, there are those whom salam is made to, and they are shy to respond because they are in an environment which is not a Muslim environment. They are feel shy to respond to that salam. Remember, to say salam is sunnah, but it is wajib to reply to the salam. So salam in itself is a means of drawing our hearts together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Let us start from today. Even in our homes when we walk in, we do not even say salam. The barakah of our homes are lost because of this. When we make salam to the people, what are we saying? What are we saying? This is not just a greeting, hello or good morning or good evening. The evening may not be so good or bad. It may not be good, but yet they are saying good morning or good evening. In Islam, salam is a shi'arul Muslim. This is a sign of a believer that he says salam when he meets another believer. So when we say assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, this is a dua actually. So when we walk into our homes and we say assalamu alaikum, this is an actual fact. We are saying, we are making a dua for the inhabitants of that dwelling. And finally, another one, sunnah of practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is there to bring about closeness and unity and bring about love and amity between the hearts of the believers. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Tahadaw tahabbu." Give hadiyah to one another. Give gifts to one another. And that will be a means of drawing the hearts together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to carry out these simple actions. Standing in the saf shoulder to shoulder, and in the Salatul Jumu'ah, and of course whenever Allah gives us the opportunity to go for Hajj, But those are on the macro level. On the micro level, right down at grassroots, these are two sunnahs of Rasulullah ﷺ if we bring about. And the first one, most importantly, and that is the sunnah of salam. Let us start from today. We will never walk into our homes without salam and never leave without salam. We will never pass a believing person without saying salam to him. May Allah grant us the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.